A very good evening from me, Chris Temple. Welcome to the Vitality Stadium as AFC Bournemouth prepare to launch their Premier League adventure. The appetite for this new chapter is tangible, reflected in one way by the fact that all the tickets for tonight's event here shifted in 3 hours as opposed to the usual 3 weeks. The Balfour Suite is absolutely packed, so let's welcome tonight's panel into the room. This trio was sat here looking ahead to the Championship Challenge this time last year, so we've invited them all back to preview the next step up. Please welcome into the room Chairman Jeff Mostyn, Captain Tommy Elphick and Manager Eddie Howe. So as you can tell, we have an audience in the room this evening here in the Balfour Suite who are very excited about the new season. We also have scores of listeners around the world via BBC Radio Solent. And in a first for us, we're broadcasting the event live via video as well right now. So hello to all of you watching on the BBC Sport website. There they are. If you're already listening but want to watch, go to the BBC Football website and follow the link on the right-hand side of the page. Now then, there's been a lot of speculation over the course of the last couple of days, so we're going to start by the announcement of a brand new deal, a 3-year deal, I can tell you. Breaking news here on BBC Radio Solent. It's not the one you were thinking, I'm afraid, but it is a new 3-year deal between ourselves at BBC Radio Solent and AFC Bournemouth. To provide live commentary every week, home and away, for the next 3 years. So I'm sure you're all very happy about that, really. Okay, let's bring the manager, Eddie Howe, and let's move that mic nice and close for you, Eddie. Now, first of all, you've done plenty of these forums down the years as a manager and a player. Sometimes it's been to five men and their dogs. It's a bit different this evening, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is, and thank you very much for the welcome. That's much appreciated. And hopefully it'll be the same next year. That's the key thing for us.
Now, first and foremost, I want to ask you a big boost for you this week with the news that your favourite band, Aha, are reforming.
I like it, Chris, keeping it nice and light. Yeah, they are back together, so give their new album a plug. Cast in Steel, everyone go and buy a copy.
He genuinely is a big Aha fan, for anyone who doesn't know. Now then, how well prepared is this club on and off the pitch for what comes up in 5 days? It's raced up on you, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's been a lot of work. An incredible amount of work in the summer, not just to get the team ready, but to get the facilities ready. And everyone behind the scenes deserves a massive pat on the back because, you know, I've seen it firsthand being here most days to see how quickly people have moved to get the pitch ready, the pavilion for the training facilities and all the things involving Sky and everything. It's been a great effort from the whole team.
How well prepared do you feel on the pitch with what you and your squad have done?
Yeah, I think it's been a good pre-season. It's been very intense. I think we've worked the lads incredibly hard. They've gone into most of the pre-season games slightly fatigued, so they won't go into Villa fatigued. I can assure everyone of that. They'll be nice and fresh. And I hope with the work that we've done, especially when you look at the performance against Hoffenheim, I thought that was a very, very good performance against a very good team. So I think I'm very excited.
Let's turn to my left and the chairman, Jeff Mostyn. Jeff, I know obviously we'll touch on everything that's gone on from a boardroom point of view and from the club behind the scenes, but I mean, I spoke to a couple of people yesterday at randoms at the Community Shield, not club fans of this club, who just said, well, Bournemouth, they're like the people's champions at the moment because everyone has such respect for the way the club have done things, the football they play. Have you found that goodwill? Have you found that you're reflecting a real positivity around the country?
I think we are, you know. I think we are probably going to be everybody's second favourite team. Let's hope by the end of the season everybody in the Premier League hates us. I think there is a lot of goodwill because I think that the football club from top to bottom has remained extremely modest. You know, we know where we've come from, we know the incredible achievements in particular over the last 6 years, and we want to try and maintain, you know, that momentum going forward, our feet on the floor. We are a community club. We're now playing in the Premier League, and I'm not quite certain whether the Premier League know what's coming, but I think we're going to shock an awful lot of people during the course of the season. But I think how we go about our business, we're polite, we're courteous, and we're respectful, and I think because of that, we have the love and the support of most people in the country.
Tommy Offit, club captain, just to my right. What are the Premier League going to see then when they come up against AFC Bournemouth? Because fans will have seen bit parts of the new signings. You'll have kicked a few of them, I'm sure, in training. What's been going on behind the scenes? How far has this team come in a few months?
Yes, it's been brilliant. Another top draw pre-season. Mentally as well as physically, been really tough. And the signings have all brought something in. So hopefully we're going to be better than last season. And we need to be going into the Premier League.
Lots of extra stuff comes with the Premier League. And the manager's done about 750,000 interviews over the summer, I think, which we'll see around the world over the course of the next few weeks. You today, what have you been doing today? You've been on the green screen doing TV walk forwards, and you've been saying Happy New Year in Chinese to fans around the world.
Yes, yeah, it's all a good experience and quite funny when you've got people like Adam Smith trying to do it and various other characters. But no, it's good, but with everything that we're experiencing, it's important that we remain focused and keep an eye on the ball and look forward to Saturday.
We're coming to the floor in a second, so get your hands ready. We'll come to you in just a moment. Eddie, I've got to ask about Max Gradle, though, because there's been a lot of newspaper speculation. I think Max Gradle has been tweeting in French, although that was swiftly removed from Twitter. Is there anything you can tell fans about the progress of any deal on that one?
Sorry, who?
Yeah, I knew you'd say that. I absolutely knew you'd say that. I think I had a fiver with someone earlier on that you'd say that. Come on, Ed.
Yeah, no. We can't talk about these things for a whole host of reasons until they're officially done, and nothing's been completed on any player.
Okay, good straight back. Let's come to the floor then. Who wants the first question of the night? First pre-Premier League question. Let's come to the gentleman in the front. Just wait for Kane to get to you with the microphone. Do stand up if you can and say your name and where you're from and who your question is to. This man's got a clipboard full of questions.
Yeah, the question's for... it's Michael Light from St Leonard's, and the question's for Eddie. I'm sure that all of the players are looking forward to pitting their wits against the top players in English football. How do you feel about trading your managerial and tactical skills against the likes of Mourinho, Wenger and Van Gaal? And if things get a little bit feisty, and this is a bit tongue-in-cheek, if things get a little bit feisty on match days, are you glad you've got Jason alongside you?
Well, the funny thing is I won't have him for the first two games because he said something he shouldn't have done, as I did. So he's unfortunately not going to be with us. He's going to be in the stands.
So next to me, so I'm protected.
I'll have to find someone else to protect me. On a serious note, going back to your first point, what was it again? I forgot.
Pitting your wits against the top managers. Sorry. Jose Mourinho's in this.
Yeah, no, I think it's as much as it's a test for the players, it's going to be a test for me this year. Tactically, it's going to be a whole different game. We're going to have to be even better, myself and Jason. That's why we both went away and learnt more. I went away and analysed other coaches and tried to develop myself abroad. And hopefully I come back this pre-season better because I'm going to have to be. And Jace went away and did the same. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult, but it's going to be what an experience. Hopefully life-changing for me because hopefully I'll develop and get better.
The hashtag is Cherries Forum. If you're listening at home, I want to get your thoughts in. Let's go back to the floor. Where's our next question coming from? There are 300 people in the room. Someone has a question. Let's go. Okay, we'll come here. We'll come to you next, sir, on the far side.
I'd just like to say, Paul from Ringwood, and like to say thanks to Eddie and everybody else involved in this football club to making it where we are today. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for that. Our next question is along the back. The microphone's making its way there. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Jeff. I'm from Southbourne. I read somewhere that we were copying the Swansea template. I was just wondering regarding Swansea this season coming, there'll be away fans that they take away will be paying £22 maximum for their match tickets through the Away Fans Initiative. And also, I think the club are helping out on that as well. And I wondered if there were any plans, bear in mind we're looking at the Swansea template, to support some of our fantastic away fans next season.
Jeff, that's one for you, I think.
We're off. I wish, it's times like this, I wish I was a manager. Well, you'll be pleased to know that we are currently working on our variation of the Swansea deal. Obviously, I don't have precise details of what they're offering. I believe it is, you alluded to, 2 for 22. We haven't actually finalised our particular plans, but there are funds available from the Premier League, and what I can assure all of our fans is that we will be utilising those funds for the benefit of both our supporters and our away supporters. So it's not all about putting the funds to provide additional travel support for home supporters. The whole raison d'etre of that is to provide facilities for away supporters at the grounds as well. And I can assure you that we will be putting something in place that will have, I hope, everybody's approval.
Just one on the subject of tickets and things, Jeff. I think you knew this one was coming, but we had it from quite a few people on Twitter. There's probably a few people in the room who are interested in the answer as well. Season tickets. They haven't been issued as yet. What's the situation with those?
Right, I've just prepared five pages of notes from my meeting earlier on. Before I start answering, because there's a number of different segments to this, it's not just about season tickets, it's about ticket allocation in general. I'd just like to say a huge thank you to Serena and all the ticket staff, Liz, our general manager, for the incredible work that they have done throughout the season under incredible pressure. You would not begin to believe the huge task, and obviously our biggest problem is the size of our ground. I'd like to say straight away that the business decision that we made not to increase capacity was the right decision. But the ramifications of that decision has caused all sorts of issues, both for you and for us, in trying to handle the number of requests that we get for information. And I've just put my glasses on so I can make sure I give you the facts here. On one day alone, we received 980 emails asking for information on the points system alone. We've subsequently had, in a very short space of time, 3,000 emails on that subject, and people understandably worried about points not having been credited to their allocation. It's not just a case of getting 3,000 emails. Every time we get an email, we try to respond to it as soon as possible. And inevitably, as soon as you respond, you get another response. So we've still got 3,000 emails to deal with at any one time. And it's a running sore. But if I can just tell you that, first of all, when it came to the season tickets, one or two people were disappointed at having to move seats. But the broadcasters have had a mandatory seat requirement for the additional cameras. And I think if we put it into context here, it's the broadcasters that are paying the wages. It's one thing getting promoted to the Premier League, and then you start talking about all the riches that you receive. The riches predominantly are coming from the broadcasters. And the piper, in this case, calls the tune. So we had, first of all, to look at where those camera positions, I think 32 camera positions, were going to be placed. Then the Premier League, just when we're trying to make a decision, the Premier League arrive on the scene and they take control. They dictate where those cameras are going to be. And as a consequence of that, a number of our season ticket holders have unfortunately had to move their seats. And I know they've occupied them for a long time, not just maybe the last 6 years during our incredible success, but in the days when we really needed the support of everybody in the community. And I'd just like to apologize for the inconvenience that has been caused by season ticket holders having to move seats. But it is completely and utterly out of our control. As I say, the broadcasters dictate and the Premier League dictate exactly where they're going to have to go. So I think the fact that we've managed to look at 7,000 ticket applications, which are effectively 7,000 sales, we've had to make sure that everything has been to your satisfaction, including taking account of all the moves. Now, there's been a delay in sending the season tickets out. I hope that everybody has been notified. I know that you have. I'm just saying I hope everybody's received the notification. And we actually made sure that for the very first game, we would issue a ticket rather than have 7,000 people turn up on match day panicking because they hadn't received the ticket. And we think that we did the right thing there. The problem in delaying the season tickets was a commercial problem. As you're aware, our promotion enabled us to go out into the market to seek a major sponsor. That doesn't happen overnight. What we wanted to make sure we were being treated respectfully by the sponsors to gain as much capital as we possibly could. And that is the reason why that was further delayed. Everything is now on track. My understanding is that you will receive the ticket for the Aston Villa game before the game against Aston Villa. We know from the... that'd be quite useful, wouldn't it? Yeah. Do you know, I was going so well till then. Yeah. Yeah. Could you excuse me a minute? It's my wife. Yeah. You will definitely receive it before the Aston Villa game, and then we hope that you'll receive the season ticket before our next home game against Leicester. So for any inconvenience that has been caused, you know, first of all, thank you for your understanding and your patience. I know how frustrating it's been, and it's the one single subject that has caused us anxiety during the summer.
Thanks for that, Jeff. I hope that's answered a few points of a few different people on the season tickets. Tom, I just wanted to, before I go back to the floor, get ready, we're coming back. The small capacity, obviously, is much smaller than anything else in the Premier League, but can that work to your advantage this season?
I think so, yeah. We made it work to our advantage last season, and there's no reason why we can't continue that. It's something we spoke about over pre-season as a mental factor that we're obviously going to be used to it. Other teams aren't, and obviously with the support that we've had, especially towards the back end of last season when things weren't going as well as we'd like to in certain games, you know, the fans are incredible for us. And we're going to all need to pull together and make this a fortress because our home form is going to be key.
Eddie, I know we're going into finite details of stadium design here, but you're not a fan of away fans behind the goal, are you? Don't you like to keep them on the side? Don't you think it's an advantage for them to be behind the goal?
Well, I think it's a massive disadvantage. You know, we go to away grounds and we see our supporters right up the top of a stand on the side, and it's not just me that thinks that. I think most managers will tell you that. We had, at Burnley, we had the away fans behind one goal, and it was a nightmare end for us. And the sort of the feeling generated is you want your home fans behind both goals. I think it's a huge advantage to have. But I did read that it was my decision not to sort of increase capacity of the stadium in a couple of articles. And nothing could have been further from the truth. I'd love to have seen more Bournemouth fans, you know, in the stadium. But just a little point, I would prefer them to the side, the away fans.
Back to the floor then. Let's take another question from the room. Kane is launching at the back of the room. We're right in the middle. I can see a hand, but I can't see a head. He's behind the pillar. Here we go.
Hi, Simon from Poole. There's a post in the way. My question's for Tommy. Your pre-match routine of the goalpost... Being a Liverpool fan, did you ever think you'd get a chance to do it at Anfield and on Monday Night Football? And the second part of the question is, what might go through your mind if it's in front of the cop?
No, it's something that's obviously been broadcasted enough now for people to know what I do, but quite a lot's been made of it. It's been blown a little bit out of proportion for me. It's the same as anyone going on and touching the grass or praying, whatever they might do. So just for me, it's something that I get myself in the zone, and it's good to get a little bit of a connection with the fans at the Steve Fletcher stand. So it's something when you're in game mode, you're not really worried about who's in what stand and things like that. So it's just something that I do, and I'm sure if you have a look at a few of the other lads, they'll be doing something different as well.
Okay, back to the floor. If you've got a question, give us your hand in the air. I can take one from two. Have we got one right at the back there? I've lost you now, Kane. You're behind the post as well. Go on, yep, far away.
It's Sam from Bournemouth. Are you looking to get any other strikers in, considering there's rumours that Ranty might be going out on loan and you're not re-signing Kane Wynne-Jones and with Wilson not having Premier League experience?
Eddie, that's for you.
That's a good question, young man. he hasn't held back, has he? Yeah, well, I think you have to remember a lot of our players don't have Premier League experience, but they didn't have Championship experience either. So, you know, I back the players that we have. You know, I think we've got some good players, good strikers at the club. We're always on the lookout for better players. That's the nature of the job, whether they're affordable and all host of other things come into it as well. But I wouldn't say we're not in the market, but we continue to see what's out there.
Let's take one from Twitter, actually. On the subject of referees, a few Cherries fans felt you weren't on the right end of a few decisions last year, and I think maybe Jason getting banned from the touchline would maybe say that as well. Has there been any sort of Premier League referees consultations? Do they get the managers together when you go up to the Premier League to say anything about the change and the different way and people throwing themselves on the floor, etc.?
I don't want to get myself in trouble again, but no. We have a meeting tomorrow, actually, a Premier League meeting where I'll be briefed on the new rules, and I'm sure I'll meet a couple of the referees. I think that's something that we have to be mindful of. I think it's very easy. Bournemouth going to a big club, it's going to be difficult for us to get big decisions. So I'm sure the referees would have talked about that and discussed that themselves, and hopefully we'll just get a fair crack of the whip. I think that's all we can ask for.
That was from Clive on email, that question, by the way. Let's come back to the floor, to those in the room. We've got another one. We've got one right down the front here, Kane. If two, three down the front. We'll come to four. We'll come to the gentleman in the front row first of all, then we'll come to you guys behind in a second.
Damien Hill from Bournemouth. One for Jeff. Any news or any plans to buy back the stadium next season?
But the answer to that is no. No immediate plans. I think I've said on a number of occasions the arrangement that we have with our landlord at the moment is very amicable. It suits us economically not to venture into a purchase agreement with them at the moment. But if the time is right and we need to develop beyond what is within our current agreement, then Maxim may consider it. But at the moment, it's not part of our plans.
Another question a few rows behind.
Question for Tommy. Is there any particular striker or attacking team you're looking at, obviously testing your skills and marking next season? And just to elaborate on the superstition, is there any chance you could do two posts on a Saturday just to get us 3 points?
There's so many good players in the Premier League. Every week's going to get tougher and harder. There's so many good teams now. But for us, it's very much about Saturday and trying to tackle Aston Villa. As the gaffer said, you know, we're going to have different game plans this year, but the core principles are going to be the same. We've built our success on a winning mentality, and we're going to look to do that even more next season.
Just on that, to follow that up slightly, Eddie, the mentality, you spoke about it last year when you played the likes of Liverpool and Villa and West Brom as sort of dipping your toe into the Premier League superstars. Is the mental focus on the fact you're playing teams, you're not playing these 11 individuals, is something I know you're big on, aren't you?
Well, yeah, we've touched on it during pre-season. We've got to remember that they're human beings like we are. They may have a different playing for a different team with a different badge, but we've got to forget the history of the clubs and the stadiums and concentrate on the football, because I think it can be a battle of the minds where you build the other team up too much or go in fear into certain games. And I think we've got to be absolutely brave in our approach. We didn't win the league by luck last season. We won the league because we deserved to, and we need to take that confidence into the new campaign and believe we can beat anybody.
And on that subject, Liverpool and Villa, the first two, obviously teams you played last year. Is that both teams have changed, but is it in any way an advantage that you've got two teams you know a bit about? First up?
No. I think it's a silly question, Chris.
I'm really pleased to organise that video stream around the world now. Let's come to the second row. Is it gentleman in the blue T-shirt? Did you have a question with the blonde hair? Blue, green. He's looking down at his T-shirt now. Oh, hang on a sec. Get the mic. There we go.
To Tommy, and what was your favourite game last season to play at?
And what's your name before he answers that?
Callum.
Well done, Callum. Right.
It's hard to beat the last one, really. We'd been at the top for so long. Looked like we was just going to miss out on winning the title. But fortunately, things went our way and we managed to put in one last good performance and beat Charlton and take the title home, so probably that one.
Right, back to the floor we go. I've got a few more from social media if we haven't got them. Okay, we'll come back to the room in a second. Jeff, one from social media, from Twitter, which simply says, what are Max Demin's ambitions for the season?
Well, Maxim's ambitions are the same as every season, to be successful.
Another half an hour this year.
Yeah.
Just need a one-line answer from Tommy now. I've got the full set. Let's go back to the real questioners. Here we go.
Hi, Steve from Winton. Firstly, love what you're doing for the kids. My boys in under nines Cherry. It's brilliant what you're doing for them. Secondly, any rumours in that Max Denham's bought Iford Golf Course?
I planted that one.
Very quiet over there.
Did you hear that from a couple of birdies?
I think that's the answer for that one. It's not just me getting one-liners. This is good. Right, back to the floor. We got anybody else out on the floor for the moment? Yeah, we've got one at the back. We'll come back down to the front in a second. See your hand up nice and high so Kane can see it. You're live with BBC Radio Solent Cherry's Forum here in the Balfour Suite at the Vitality Stadium. Here we go.
All right, John from Christchurch. We had 60,000 people down the beach when we got for the parade. When we stay in the Premiership next year, are we going to have a 60,000-seater stadium?
Yeah. I think the answers are getting shorter, no. But I hope we're back on the beach.
It's a fair point to make, though, that about the goodwill in the town, and that I read somewhere, I'm not sure if it was you, Jeff, or somebody else, saying that whereas before you saw Man United and Liverpool shirts and whatever in Bournemouth Town Centre, now you see a lot more red and black.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite evident from the work we do in the community and the work that Steve Cuss and the Community Trust do. You know, when I arrived at the football club, which is recent compared with a lot of people in the room here, you know, in 2006-07, you never actually saw a Cherry shirt. You know, it was all, you know, United, City, Liverpool, Arsenal, etc. You know, now everywhere you go, at the schools in particular, there are Cherry shirts, and now we're everybody's favourite team, and then they'll support United and Liverpool as a second team. And that's, you know, because of the incredible work that Eddie and the boys have done on the pitch. It doesn't take much to, you know, give people encouragement and to be proud to wear the shirt. You only ever hear that when it comes to players. You know, are the players proud to wear the shirt? They are, and our supporters are now.
Let's stay on a shirts theme, because Gary on Twitter says, why will Cherries be starting the most important season in the club's history with no replica shirts for fans to buy?
Well, another good question, and I think I partly answered it earlier on when I came to the sponsorship. It's been a huge frustration for us, and I think Eddie and I were talking en route to Hoffenheim on Saturday about my concern and the letters that I've written to the shirt manufacturers. But in fairness to them, there is a 150-day lead-in time to produce replica shirts to get them manufactured and into our store. Now, on the basis that up until the time we were promoted, we were going to retain our existing sponsors, Energy Consulting. So it was only after we were promoted that once again we went out into the market to exploit our newfound fame and try to get the right kind of sponsor. And I think when it comes to, you know, sponsorship, they don't grow on trees. There's an awful lot of money at stake. But because a newly promoted side, they feel that they can be less than respectful when it comes to how much they want to pay. So it took us time to get the right mix. And because of that, we ate well into the 150 days. Now, the latest news I have, and this is all subject to change, is that we will have them prior to the Leicester game. Nobody is more frustrated than we are. You know, I can assure you, Neil Blake, our chief executive, is like ripping his hair out and everybody else's because we've probably missed, you know, a month of marketing where people are on holiday and all people wanted to, you know, turn up for our first game wearing our new kit. It will be in the shops and hopefully, you know, thereafter we'll have plenty of supplies to suit everybody.
Given, though, Jeff, that this is a Premier League club now and a global sort of brand, is it good enough that they can't turn the shirts around in time? Could you be saying to them, 150 days, this is Premier League, this is big business now, we need it quicker than that?
No, Chris, it's absolutely, you know, thank you for that. yeah, don't worry, that's a whole season for payback. it's not good enough, and it's not a Premiership style. You know, we now have to act on and off the pitch as a Premier League club. We've learnt an awful lot this season. You know, bearing in mind it's taken us 116 years to get here, so there's a lot of lessons that needed to be learnt very quickly. We have done everything that we possibly can to speed up the process. They know from a legal standpoint, with the letters that have been exchanged, they will never get away with this charade again. So in future seasons, once again, never say never, but as far as I'm concerned, there'll be plenty of stocks in the shop because we now have a three-year contract. We've got this season and another season with our existing shirt suppliers. Like every other company, if you're not satisfied with the service you're getting, you look elsewhere. As a Premier League club, there's plenty of people that would like to be our providers.
Let's go back to the floor. We've got one right here at the front.
Good evening, Lionel Caldwell, Poole. Question for Eddie. We're quite disappointed, I think, to hear that Harry Arter may not be available for the beginning of the season. Can you give us any idea when he will be and what's his condition at the moment?
Harry's improving day by day. He's very keen to start training. It's a type of injury we've got to be very careful with. He sustained it when he was away on international duty. So we're having just to get the timing right, really, of when we push him back. But he's not going to be too long. He may miss the first couple of games, but hopefully no more than that.
What about Christian Atsu as well, who's had a bit of a knock?
Yeah, he had a back problem in the Yeovil game, got taken off. It's nothing serious. We'll hopefully build him up the rest of this week.
Next question from the floor. Live here is one right next to you, Kane. On your left, there we go.
Evening, Jonathan from Ferndown. Question for anyone, really. Is there a certain game or stadium you're looking forward to going to and playing at, and if so, why?
Tommy, we've spoken about Anfield with you already. Is there another stadium? Is there any stadiums you haven't been to in the Premier League?
Yeah, most of them.
I think that's the full set. That's the full set. I was thinking more that players can go and watch games as well as playing them. But that is a clean sweep, thank you. But apart brilliant. From Liverpool, is there a particular one you're looking for? Any mates on other teams?
No, there's loads. All of them, really. It's going to be such a good season, and I think we can be really optimistic. As we've said before, we've had a great pre-season, and for the players, it's all about getting to the first game, and it might sound a bit corny, but Aston Villa's the first game in hand, and that's what we all need to be thinking about now.
I'm not even going to ask you, Eddie. I'm not going to bother. Yep. Jeff, Manchester City for you, I suppose, is it?
Well, absolutely. You know, it's taken me nearly 70 years, you know, to get there with a team I absolutely love. They thought I loved them, but it was all false. Yeah, I can't wait to get to the Etihad and absolutely kick the out of them.
I wonder where that was going for a second. We're live here at the Balfour Suite. Kane is on BBC Radio Solent. Hashtag Cherries Forum. Kane, where are we going now? We've got one right on the left again. Don't go home, as I always say every year. Don't go home kicking yourself, thinking, I wish I'd asked it. Here we go.
Hi, sorry, it's Jeff from Southbourne again. When the fans come back on Saturday, what will they notice differently about the ground? There's a lot of the facilities been improved for the fans. In the concourses, etc. What will we notice differently? Is there a jacuzzi in the North Stand toilets now?
Mm-hmm. There is one in the press room, thankfully.
Yeah. Well, I think you're just mistaking the overflow. Sorry. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. No, I think a lot of the changes that we've made, you know, to the ground, I think, I said this recently, are not visible in terms of the improvements that we've made for the press. And I come back to the press leading the huge changes that we've made at the football club. And again, come back, I'm on sort of a mission of thanks tonight, you know, having sort of thanked all the staff in the ticket office. I'd just like to, you know, get a round of applause here for our chief executive, Neil Blake, who has worked tirelessly to get the changes implemented. Not only that, Neil works very, very closely with Eddie and Jason and Richard Hughes on all the transfers that we've had in and out of the club this season. It's a 24/7, but it's supporting Neil, the entire staff of this football club have literally worked non-stop since the final whistle at Charlton, and they've worked in very difficult conditions. this ground has been like a building site for those that have, you know, visited the ground during the season, during the close season, I'm sure you'll notice. And to get the changes that have been mandatory by the Premier League implemented prior to the start of the season on Saturday has been nothing short of a miracle. So please put your hands together for Neil and our staff.
And from a media point of view, I can confirm, by the way, the media room is pretty spectacular downstairs. Wait till Willow sees the buffet he's going to have on Saturday. I can tell you about that. Yeah. Kane, let's go back to you.
Russell Jameson from Talbot Woods. Fast forwarding to the new year. So, Eddie and Tommy, well done for keeping us up. Looking forward to qualifying for Europe at worst in the UEFA from not having a booking or a sending off at all. And then we'll see how things go. But Jeff, in all seriousness, I know we're not going to have a 60,000 seat stadium, but might we realistically expect to have some corners filled in and a few park benches put in, or something for next season?
I think that again, you know, I can say that, you know, Neil Blake certainly made the plans available to our supporters. You know, our intent, and there are plans that are in place. I say the business model that we agreed, I think, is right this season. We want to be financially prudent. We want to make sure that the money that we've been in, that has been invested, which is many, many millions to date, has gone in the right areas. The thing that is going to keep this football club in the Premier League is the team that goes on the pitch, not another 5,000 or 6,000 supporters. Once we've retained our position, which we will, then next season we can certainly look at increasing the capacity. That is important to us because it's not a question of getting another 2,000 or 3,000 people. It's giving another two or three thousand people the opportunity to come and see the team that they've supported all their lives. So we certainly want to sit down, and I know Neil and Maxim, who work very closely together on a day-to-day basis, will look at improving the capacity at the end of next season.
Back to the Before We Go again, live with the BBC Radio Solent Cherries Forum. Next question.
Yeah, it's Mike from Bournemouth. I was interested to know what Jeff Morrison would say, just for one season only this season, is it possible that we could play Southampton at Wembley on the two fixtures?
Well, without consulting my dear friend Greg Dyke, I think even I might struggle to get that one over the line. But let's play them once at Wembley, and that will be in the cup final.
There we go. Let's just, before we come back to the floor, we'll have another one from the floor in a moment. Eddie, a footballing question. People again say, can Bournemouth play the same way they did last season in the Premier League? Can you?
Well, we can try. I think it's a good question. There are going to be certain things we will have to tweak, no doubt, in certain games. But I think it would be foolish to have success for a period of time. And I said the same when we got into the Championship and we had a couple of bad experiences early on in the season. That there was people willing us to change and to do something different, perhaps go long ball and camp men behind the ball. But the reality is, when you've had success doing one thing, to then say to the players, right, we've got to do something totally different, that's alien to them and away from their strengths, will take away from all the qualities that we've got. So we've got this far playing attractive, open, aggressive football, and we're not going to veer from that regardless of results.
What are the extra demands that we placed on your players from this step up now? What changes in the top flight?
Well, I think the ruthlessness of the strikers, first and foremost, I think that's going to be an obvious thing. And it was the same in the Championship when we stepped up from League One. People will get a chance and they'll take it. So it's the same for us at the other end. You know, when we get a chance, we're going to have to be equally as ruthless. So at both ends of the pitch, I think, will be the big difference. And that's where we're going to have to be effective.
Tom, how do you see the first couple of months' fixtures that the computer has dealt you? Because to the outside, a Liverpool aside, there's teams you were promoted with and there's quite a few teams you finished in the bottom half last year.
Yeah, again, we're looking no further than Aston Villa. Keep saying it, but that's the mentality of our group and that's what's brought us success over the past seasons. You have to play everyone twice. How the fixtures are dealt, it's minimal, really.
And for you as captain of this group as well, what role have you had now in terms of, because it's new for you as well, the leadership of you now, because you're going into the unknown yourself. How much can you pass on to lads who have played in the Premier League, who've joined the club?
It's good to have people like Sylvain come in and Arta, and having pre-season trips like we did to go away to Philadelphia. You spend a lot of time with each other, and you can just sit down with them and pick their brains. And from day one, since they've come in, they've always had faith in the squad and been taken back by how we train and the quality that we have. So you have to draw inspiration from them. You have to trust each other, trust the manager. And as we say, just get better at what we're doing. Like we touched on earlier, it's 11v11 on the same surface. So you have to forget the mindset of you go into big clubs and big stadiums and just be who you are and do what's brought us success.
Back to the floor we go. We've got about 15 minutes left. We've got a couple, we've got three now. We've got a member of the mic. We'll come to you in a minute, sir, and in the middle as well.
Hi, it's Mike from Ferndown. I'd just like to ask Jeff, why or how was the decision come to allocate away points on last year's attendance as opposed to any loyalty going back in the past? And personally, I couldn't go to many away games last season because having a baby, but holding a season ticket for 20 plus years and being to countless away games, I find myself in a position not being able to go to seemingly any away games next year to see games I've dreamed of seeing Bournemouth play in the past. I won't have that opportunity anymore.
Well, the I think the rationale was that the preceding season was the first season that we'd actually had a database that was capable of offering a fair and equitable information base to allocate tickets. The fact that people had been supporting us for many years, and that should never be underestimated, and nobody appreciates that more than I do, you know, during the dark days. There was no method of actually registering who had been to an away game, and therefore how could we allocate tickets on the basis of somebody coming along saying, I never missed a game over the previous 5 or 6 years. The information I have, 6 people went to every single away game last year. So that's 6 of our supporters went to every single game. The average attendance at a Premier League for away supporters within the Premier League in the entire season was 2,300. That may surprise you. That is the average attendance for an away game. We've had 5,000 or so people saying that they've never missed a game. And I know that, you know, we've never really taken more than 1,500, you know, or 2,000 max to most games. So in our wisdom, we believe that that was the fairest starting point. Our database is improving all the time, and hopefully over the next 2 or 3 seasons, people will have sufficient points to qualify for an away game. An interesting fact is that our first game, I believe you needed 4 points. So, you know, that is not a lot of games to have been to last year to qualify for the points. We have over 20,000 people who have at least 1 point. And that gives you some idea of the pressure that the ticket office have been under in trying to allocate the points to each person. We were never, ever going to find a system that pleased everybody. And for that, I apologize. But, you know, the impossible is the impossible. And the one thing we've tried to do, and this is, again, credit to our general manager, Liz Finney, and Serena, and the ticket office, we've tried to be consistent. We've come up with a system, and what we've tried to do is make sure that that is the system that's implemented, rather than look at every single case in isolation and make changes accordingly. So again, I apologize on behalf of everybody at the football club that we can't take as many people away as possible. But as the West Ham, for instance, there are 3,000 tickets, I believe, allocated. And it may well be at some stage that the allocation will go down to 0 points. So everybody at some stage may have an opportunity to go. And like anything else, this is our first time in the Premier League. It is novel. It's going to be interesting when we get around to November and December and January, you know, when there's 3 foot of snow on the floor, as to how many people want to travel to the away games at that stage. I sincerely hope that every game we sell out our allocation, because that's what Eddie and the boys deserve.
So Kane's just going to find our next question. We will come back to you at the front, sir. We've got just over about 11 or 12 minutes left of our BBC Radio Solent Cherries Forum. So our man behind the post again. Oh, no, different one.
Hiya, Richard Rouse from Bournemouth. Question for Tommy. Out of the summer signings this season, is there anybody that's particularly impressed you in training so far?
All of them, really. can't be unfair for me to pick one out, but I think the important thing for us is that they all buy into what we're about. And they've done that. They've all worked really hard. And it's definitely a better squad than what we had last year. I'm sure you'll be excited by a few of them. Christian and players like Josh, you know, really exciting to watch and really tough to play against.
Well, I've asked you this before, Eddie, but have you gone for power in some of your signings? Because Distan's a big lad, Mings is a big lad, Joshua King's a big lad. Have you tried to add some power to your squad physically?
I think I've been on record before saying the Premier League, as we know, is quicker, faster, and the players are stronger and bigger. So naturally, I think we've had to try and improve our physicality of our squad. So yeah, we've gone for a little bit of pace, but of course, not only with pace, you need a brain to play in this team. So, you know, they've got to have good technical ability and understand the game. Hopefully we've ticked every box. It's never an exact science, but we've been very pleased with the new players.
What about the ruthless nature of having to make decisions and pick your team, because there are lads last year who served you very well in the Championship who may not be in that team on the opening day of the season? That's where you earn your corn, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's going to be very difficult to pick a team. I don't know it yet. The lads have got a few days of training to force a change of opinion. But the reality is, on the first day of pre-season, I said to the players, they start again. You know, you can't live off last season, can't live off yesterday. It's about today and going forward. So I've judged the players on pre-season, and we'll pick a team accordingly.
Let's go back to the floor. Over there, Kane, yep. We'll try and squeeze everybody in.
Richard from Wimborne. Bearing in mind what we've heard today about Wembley after yesterday's match, what are Eddie's and the team's thoughts about our new pitch and having played on it on Friday?
Well, Tom, you didn't play, did you? But Ed, you might be able
to... Yeah, well, I've been very pleased with it. It's not probably had enough time. The groundsman would be slightly disappointed that he didn't have longer, but we needed to play a game on it. But very pleased with how it played against Cardiff, although it ran slightly better for them on the night. in the main, the pitch played very well. I think it was a lot better than the pitch this time last year, so it'd be a stronger pitch.
And just because I don't understand grass science, obviously you've had to put undersoil heating in. Is it a wholly new surface? Has the old one been rolled up and stored and then put back out? What's happened?
It's totally new, Chris.
Totally new.
Brand new playing surface.
And is that, from your point of view, I mean, last year's pitch obviously did serve you well and held up very well in the season. Was that a choice you made, or was that one that had to be made?
No, it had to be made, unfortunately. We didn't want to do too much to the pitch this summer, but with the undersaw heating, and there's no way we could roll it up or do anything to it yet to put a new one in.
There we go. Okay, we've got a few questions to squeeze in. They're all popping up now with no time left. Back over there, sir, yeah.
Hello, Stephen from Bournemouth. Just a question for Jeff, really. A lot of clubs do support the return of safe standing. I just wanted to hear your views on where we stand at returning to safe standing, if possible.
Well, it's something we haven't discussed for, you know, a considerable amount of time. I think, again, I made our position quite clear that until such time that the government and the Police Federation have made a decision to support it, that we've deferred any decision by the club. We will obviously you know, make a decision as and when and if. And at the moment, I have my doubts as to whether it will get the green light. As and when and if it does, we'll then sit down and make a decision.
Straight on at the back. Yep, next one.
Hi there, I'm Stuart from Bournemouth. Just a question to all three of yourselves. Where do you see yourselves in 5 years' time, and do you set yourselves any targets?
Tom, let's start with you on the end.
5 years. Not really sure, to be honest. I don't really think that far ahead. Got enough to think about with Saturday coming up.
The target, I mean, let's take the targets point. I mean, obviously, you'll tell me beating Aston Villa is the first target, but personally for you, any targets for the season?
Just to be fit and available for selection and help the team as much as possible.
And how do you deal with targets, manager, in terms of small groups of games, game by game? How do you send it out to the squad?
No, we've been very consistent over the last few years. It's always been about improving the team. short term. We've never tried to group games together or set targets. The only times we've done that is when we've got a real aim. So maybe there's eight games to go in a season, or we need to hit a points target to stay in the league. The rest of the time, I think it can be damaging to confidence if you don't hit the early targets and then you're in trouble. So we've stayed away from that. In terms of 5 years' time, when you're in management, you can't look more than 2 weeks ahead. You know, it's so difficult and volatile.
Jeff, targets for you, obviously. You, again, win every game is the target, stay up, finish in the top six, all these other ones. But is there anything sort of board level?
Well, no, funnily enough, I wasn't thinking of any of them. I've just got one target. I'm 70 next month. I just want to be alive in 5 years.
Is it true that everybody in this room is automatically invited to your 70th birthday party?
Hello, I'm losing you.
Okay, Kane, come back on the front. We've got a few people down the front here we can squeeze in. We'll come, if the young man there wants to ask one, then we'll come over to the middle. We've got 6 minutes left.
With the pavilion outside, will you be opening the bar downstairs for the capacity of the stadium?
And what's your name, sir?
What's Ryan your name? From Ringwood.
Well done, Ryan. Good man. Jeff, and that follows on another one, actually. Steve on Twitter says, yeah. Any plans for a return of a supporters' bar?
I tell you, he looks amazing for 21, doesn't he? You shouldn't be drinking. The answer to that is no, because the bar downstairs is now a state-of-the-art media centre. So again, this is all Premier League requirements. So we've got a facility for about 140 members of the worldwide media, both national and overseas. So unfortunately, that won't happen. But as you know, the bowling club is open, and I understand that there are thoughts about extending that. But keep off the alcohol.
Okay, gentlemen with the clipboard.
Yeah, it's Mike from St. Leonard's again. It's a question for Eddie. It's been very heartening to see Bailey Cargill break through into the first team squad. How likely is it that another young player such as Wakefield, Cornick, Green, Carmichael or Costa follow suit, and could it happen this season?
To be honest, it's going to be difficult for him. It was difficult enough in the Championship. It's even more difficult now with what's at stake and the money for the club next year, record TV revenue. It's going to be difficult. They'll be picked on merit. You know, the boys will be picked if they're good enough. At the moment, I'd say those lads are good players, but they've got a lot to do to displace the lads in our current squad.
And do they therefore go out on loan this season again?
Possibly, we'll look at it. I've got no plans for Bailey to go out on loan at the moment. He's too close to the first team. But with the others, yeah, we'll look at it on an individual basis.
Okay, 5 minutes left. Yep, question down here.
Dylan from Bournemouth. When in the dressing room did the players start to believe that it would be possible to get promoted to the Premier League?
Well, so I think you'd have to ask them. From my perspective, I never had a moment where I thought we were going to get into the Premier League. I honestly didn't. Even when we beat Bolton, there was still part of me that was worried about the goal difference. So that's my mindset. It was only when the game finished at Charlton that I truly believed it was possible, because, you know, you have to work every day to strive to achieve something. The minute you start thinking it's possible, you take your eye off what you're trying to achieve. So until it's done, I would never believe it.
We've got another one down the front here, I think. There's a hand up at the back. We'll come back to you in a minute. So right at the front. 4 minutes left.
Adam from Bournemouth. A question for Eddie. Has there been any new sports science measures that have come in ahead of the new Premier League season?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said about myself, trying to improve, I sent the whole team, the coaching team, away to try and improve themselves. And I think Dan Hodges deserves a lot of credit for the pre-season he's delivered, because, yeah, there's new innovations. The lads have had some new equipment to work on. I believe we're at the high end of innovation and trying to find the new things to make us better. So I think he's delivered a good pre-season.
And Tommy seems to deliver at the end of matches some horrible-looking coloured milkshakes and stuff to you guys, purple and all sorts. Does it actually work?
Yeah, I think so. And we've looked at a lot of that during pre-season. Various people come in and give us talks about our diets and our supplements that we're taking. And again, you know, we're at an elite stage now where them 1% and little margins, that they mean a lot. And with the season that we have and the players that we're going to be coming against, we need to do everything to make sure that we're as fit and as strong as possible.
Just while we've got you finally, do you feel under more scrutiny this season because you're a Premier League player now? Do you feel the world is watching all of a sudden?
Yeah, a little bit. But for the lads that haven't been there, you need to embrace it and enjoy it. It's a great life experience, and something that we want to maintain. We don't want to be just here for the numbers. We want to be a force in the league. And as you say before, you know, a lot of people have warmed to the way that we've done things and progress, and we want to keep that going.
Question out the front here, so has been waiting patiently.
Hi there, yeah, my name's Gary from Verwood. Question for Tommy. What's the biggest thing you've noticed in pre-season stepping up from the Championship to the Premiership with regards to media and that sort of stuff, with regards to Sky Sports and all the rest of the exposure you get?
An interview I done with the BBC a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, no, anyway, that's enough, Tom. That's enough. It
things,
wasn't me, thankfully.
Things can get misperceived, and you're under constant scrutiny. We've got a great bunch of lads who pride themselves on the way they live, and being ready for matches. And every step's going to be watched. You see stories being made out of nothing, and it's important that you don't slip up and carry on doing what we're doing, because the lads have led a great life up until now for the club, and brought huge success to the club through the way that they've you know, dealt with things like the media and being ready for games and professionalism. So we just got to continue doing that.
We've got one final question we can squeeze in. We're into the last minute. Okay, let's go right to the back because his hand went up first. Run, Kane. We've got 1 minute left. He's done a great job running around the room so far. Last question of the night.
John from Christchurch again. I'd just like to thank Eddie, Tommy and Jeff for making my dream come true. I supported this club since 1957. And to get in the Premiership before I die, you have made my life. Thank you so much.
I think that's a pretty fitting way to wrap the night up here at the Balfour Suite at the Vitality Stadium, as it's now known, Dean Court to the Traditionalists. A very big thank you to all of you in the room for coming, listening or watching this evening. A big thank you, please, by a round of applause for our panel, Jeff Mostyn, Eddie Howe and Tommy Elphick. BBC Radio Solihull as commentator on every Cherries League and Cup game since 1998, home and away. We'll be there again this season. Myself and Willow will be here at the Vitality Stadium on Saturday for the big kickoff against Villa. Mark Forrest now follows on BBC Radio Solihull, and our sports show is back this Saturday from 2 o'clock. But from the Balfour Suite, from the top table and from everybody else, from me, Chris Temple, a very good night.